B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Wilfred Toucher, I like to listen to you on the radio in the greater Boston area. You are very funny, get on the radio, talking about your life and talking about sports and stuff. With your buddy Rich, Toucher and Rich is such a very good show on the radio. I like to listen to it several times per week. When people call you, they say, hey guys, hey, what's that all about? Oh, Fred Toucher, you are such a good radio host. I like to listen to you on the radio. I think it is so funny when you say funny, 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 funny things. Oh, Fred Toucher, I want to be your friend. Fred Toucher, you could call me if you wanted to. My phone number is 603-6-8. Oh, Fred Toucher, I want to be best friends with you. I want to walk down the street and talk to you. Yeah, I want to hang out with you and Rich and the Faster Guy.
Scott Zule, backup quarterback.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And that is a gentleman that Vice Magazine did a piece on, but I have yet to read it. I've been sent it many times. There's literally thousands of songs out there.
Like, I mean, he's done it under like 15, 16 different names. He makes his, like, a fake band, and then we'll make a whole new album, and I think that when you say thousands, I mean, you're probably right. It's the man is prolific. Name a topic, he's probably written a song about it.
Yeah, he's got, he plays his own piano.
He does, and he's from New Hampshire, we've learned, from the area code that he gave out to call him. That was his actual phone number.
Just yeah. Far enough away to stop him at the border if you need to.
He puts on concerts. I guess he's having a show soon. We've been invited to it.
We have?
Oh, yeah. And I would say to that, no, thank you.
Well, if he does the Fred Toucher song, he's going to bring the house.
He might. That's probably what he ends with.
Yeah, he's going to bring the house down.
Yeah, I mean, the Fred Toucher song is definitely a hit from his repertoire. He did, he's got the Scott Zolak song, which everyone knows and loves.
Scott Zolak, backup quarterback.
But I have to think that the one that really brings the kids in is
butt face, butt face, butt face, butt face, butt face.
And then when they say encore, encore, we need more. He goes, all right.
Fart face, fart face, fart face, fart face.
He would sell out every elementary school in town if he needed to.
Yeah, that's. I mean, every kid show that my children watched involves farting. I mean, I don't think there's an episode that goes by where there's not at least two fart jokes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's all these books now. It's like Captain Fartman and Fartface and Captain Underpants and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. The farting dog was one from when they were much younger.
That's a big one.
Yep. Sometimes you got to have a farting dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, exciting times here as game four. Big face-off. 8 o'clock today. You'll be able to hear that on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The pregame starts at 7:30. The hope is a sweep. That is the hope right there. I have a sheet in front of me of the times of all the games, and someone last night was nice enough to, or this morning, to put the scores in.
Hey.
Was that Dan O'Brien?
How about that?
Yeah, Dan O'Brien just came in. He put the scores in.
Nice.
So now I have a...
it's helpful. It's a nice resource.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Trying to put the Western Conference games, too. That's why I asked John what the score was from last night's game.
John stayed up to watch the overtime.
Well, we're going to get into that later on because that was a cluster F of epic proportions.
If it had happened to the Bruins, we would not have to worry about any kind of format.
Are you kidding
me? Calls wall to wall.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
It was one of the more embarrassing endings to a game, especially a playoff game like this with such massive implications. I don't know how they got away with it, but I do know, however, that Fred, you are infecting some of our brethren in the Boston media.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is without a doubt happened. I don't know if you were paying attention on Twitter last night, but Kevin Paul DuPont, I guess, caught a little Fred Tucher fever. So after being in a restaurant that was playing the Sharks-Blues game, DuPont, now he's in Raleigh right now, DuPont got pissed that they turned the channel to the Raptors-Bucks game instead. So after on Twitter ranting about how ridiculous that was, he called the people in Raleigh a bunch of hicks. This is Kevin Paul DuPont, okay? I mean, the guy's
been writing for like 40 years.
Hockey Hall of Fame writer,
Hockey Hall
I believe.
Of Fame writer, I fairly think. Classy guy, yeah. And like even he's fed up.
Oh, man.
Calling them a bunch of hicks. So when a tweeter.
He's been in town for 2 days.
Well, that's all you need. Oh, that's all you need to dip right into it and just go, you know what? Maybe Fred was right for hanging up on that guy. So a tweeter asked him, hey, how about you ask them to turn the channel? It's pretty simple around here. To which Paul DuPont responded, dude, this is America. There's no one to ask. And if there were, they wouldn't understand spoken language. So,
did that woman agree to come on her show today?
I didn't ask her. I ended up not asking her. I was like, I don't even want to get into that. So the guy tweets back. First, I'm not a dude. Second, try harder here, dude. Going for the lowest common denominator is pretty bush league. People here speak English. Oh, and many who live here are from Boston, so maybe GTFO. Jesus, you people are petty. Your hotel room has a TV. The channel is NBCSN, to which DuPont replied, got it, dude. And then someone said something along the lines of, you're in basketball country, sweetheart, in which DuPont replied with, quote, where I come from, sweetheart, is a sexist remark. Try harder, you hick.
Everyone's losing their minds.
I'm telling you, I don't know what's gone on, whether he's got Fred Tucher fever or just that he's been infected by the cesspool that is Raleigh and just couldn't take it anymore.
What's funny is that I like the South a lot. My parents retired down to like outside of Knoxville, which is real hickish. And I plan to retire in the South. I like the South better. But the Carolinas, North Carolina, because
South Carolina is wonderful. Yeah. I love South Carolina.
Yeah, well, when they're not passing abortion bill.
Well, that's Alabama.
Well, they're on the way. And so, rape or incest, don't worry about it. But they, I can't believe that they did that.
Admitting it's not enforceable.
Yep. Well, just the idea that you want to. And so, anyway. So I think that it's not a good place to be. I mean, I just don't think that it's North Carolina is a good place to be. I talked to a guy I know yesterday that had lived there. And, yeah, Charlotte's a miserable place. And I don't know anything about Raleigh.
Oh, I mean, Charlotte is like heaven compared to Raleigh. I've been to Raleigh a bunch. And Charlotte is... I mean, Charlotte seems like, you know, a metropolitan. It's like New York City.
Yeah, it's got Bank of America.
Yeah, Raleigh is not a great city. No. Not at all. By the way, since I read those tweets, this, I guess, only a couple hours ago, Kevin Paul DuPont deleted two tweets. I realized facetiousness does not always translate on this platform. So basically, any evidence of him calling anyone a hick is gone. Some of the other ones are still there where he was just going back and forth with people calling him dudes and whatever. But all the hick ones are gone.
Oh, he took down the hick ones?
He took down the hick ones. It,
how was he being facetious?
That's what he said. I don't know.
No, no, but I don't. I mean, if just saying bunch of hicks, how is that facetious?
Doesn't sound it.
Somehow Aaron Ward got involved in this whole thing, too. Which Aaron Ward, I love Aaron Ward. Aaron might not need to stay. He might need to stay off Twitter. Aaron's picking fights, like, lately. Even since we've had him on. Like, him and, you know, Jimmy Murphy, who, you know, covers the book. Like, those two got in, like, a huge fight.
I don't think that they like each other.
If you don't say. I mean, you could definitely tell by the Twitter argument the two got into.
Yeah. What is he defending? Because he lives in Charlotte.
Yeah, so I don't know, because some of the tweets have been deleted, so I can't quite tell what was going on. But Aaron Ward was almost... like, he was busting Kevin Paul DuPont's balls, it seems like, because he's responding to somebody. It says, that's angry. I consider him a buddy. I was messing with him. There wasn't enough room for my Geritol joke. I'd say everyone is literal and sensitive. And Kevin Paul DuPont retweeted saying, Geritol is no joke, you ageist. So they're just...
well, he's,
you know,
being facetious.
That's what they're busting balls there. But somehow Aaron Ward got involved in everything.
Yeah, because he lives down there and he has to face the people.
Oh, yeah. Here's what he said. He tweeted him when he was complaining about not being able to watch the game. He said, what are you doing out that late? Someone here is bound to call you in on a silver alert. So, checking out of a room where you actually control the remote makes no sense to me, but you do you. So, yeah. So, because he said that he wanted to leave the hotel. There's so much stuff that was deleted, but I caught some of it and was able to keep it.
But you got to delete it because that's very offensive, all of that. Thank God they deleted it so we don't have to... they don't have to get fired and lose their jobs for calling them hicks.
So we just said North Carolina, first in flight, 48th in education.
Yeah. I mean, that airport sucks. It's not a good place. And I don't like doing this kind of stuff. But listen, I'm still amped by the Jets' complete...
I didn't know if you wanted to bring that up, but man.
Complete control of their organization.
Oh my God. Manish Mehta just went all in.
Well, he had
yesterday.
To because he was captain Nothing's Happening and calling out the rest of the media for saying it would.
Oh my goodness.
I got to see if I can find it. I haven't printed it out yet. Did you see the back page of the New York Daily News?
No, but I'm sure.
Oh, it is awesome. When we get back.
Well, Manish is embarrassed because he carried the whole notion that it would never in a million years happen. And so, and then when it happened, I mean, he obviously was completely wrong. All right. We'll get to that. Okay. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Let's get to Whit Grosbeck going on Felger and Maz yesterday and speaking for the first time. And all is well. Nothing to see here. All is well.
All right. We'll hear about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
So, with the Celtics season ending in massive disappointment and the offseason looking more bleak than anyone would have predicted, Celtics owner Whit Grosbeck, for the first time, spoke to the media and called into our very own Felger and Maz yesterday. I heard the thing in its entirety. Felger and Maz asked every question that needed to be asked. And Whit Grosbeck, the one thing I actually like about him doing these interviews is that, you know, Danny Ainge is one of these guys who does this for a living. So he's measured in his responses. He's honest, but he also knows, you know, when to show your hand and when not to show your hand. I think Wick's just a big fan. And I think sometimes he says some things that give you an insight that maybe might not be the right thing to say as far as the future of your team and not making anybody angry, but at least it comes from a place of honesty. First, he was asked about his disappointment in the season. Here is Whit Grousbeck on Felger and Mazz.
We're all annoyed and upset and disappointed, and I feel like there was a mismatch between the talent that we had on paper and the way that it was expressed on the court, whatever. I mean, the actual and the potential, there was a gap. And, you know, the toughest part maybe is that we ended the season pretty well, and then we won 5 playoff games in a row. We swept Indiana, and then, you know, sitting right there courtside watching us thump them on the road in Milwaukee in game one and getting home court back. So those 5 games were, it wasn't back and forth. We beat Indiana and we beat Milwaukee in game one, and then we lost 4 in a row and got blown out. So pretty frustrating for everybody concerned, not least of all the players. I talked to them all, talked to just about every one of them after the game, and then in the coming day or two after that, just to, if nothing else, to say thanks and see you later. And, nobody was happy.
By the way, there was one update that he gave on Danny Ainge. I guess Danny Ainge is working. Like, he's actually working with the team and discussing some of the future plans. You know, despite not doing anything publicly in the media yet, Danny Ainge, I don't think, has spoken to anyone, but that was obviously good news. But one of the main questions is Kyrie Irving. Have you spoken to him? What's the deal and what's going on with him?
Danny Ainge said at one point during the regular season that your relationship with Kyrie Irving is an engagement, not a marriage. So I ask you, is the engagement still on as far as you know?
I'm not going to comment on, as I said, emailing you guys before, really not going to talk about specific guys except in real generalities. Kyrie's given us 2 years of strong effort. He's going to decide what he's going to do down the road. He hasn't commented publicly, so I'm going to respect that.
Have you spoke to him?
I have spoken to him.
So have you had talks with he and his people, and has there been a dialogue, or is it just sort of a see you later, have a good offseason, we'll, you know, don't call us, we'll call you? What was the name? Have there been ongoing talks, I guess, is my question.
Sorry, not going to comment on that. But this is a process that will go through longer than this week.
Okay, so then Mazz asks, all right, well, can we assume that the team wants Kyrie back?
Can we assume that the team wants Kyrie back?
I'm just not going to comment about anybody on the roster in that. We've got 15 guys, and we're going to evaluate all of them, and I'm not going to comment on one person and then not comment on another because it's going to send a negative or positive signal. Just don't want to do it.
All right, Kyrie's gone. I mean, from those comments right there, if you wanted to re-sign Kyrie Irving, how easy is it for you to say, we love Kyrie Irving, to say everything Danny Ainge has been saying during the season, we would love to have him back, but right now we want to respect Kyrie Irving's time and space. We don't want to rush him into anything, so we're giving him all the time that he needs, but we love him as a player, and we sure would love to have him as a Celtic.
Well, because you don't know that if he's going to come back. So if you put those statements on record and he leaves, it doesn't look good.
Well, I think it does kind of put you in a better light. Then it makes like him look like the guy who left you. It's not like not the jerk in all of this. You know what I mean? It's like if you, wanted Kyrie to stay.
No, it means that you're in control of the situation. If he leaves.
But why not say we would love to have Kyrie stay here? I mean, he's on the team right now. So why does that hurt you to say that if you do indeed want him? I think it would only help you in your case. Publicly, you're showing that you love Kyrie Irving, and maybe that goes somewhere. Maybe that helps Kyrie Irving if he hears that.
In the case of free agency, I would not do that.
I think ultimately, I'm going back to the first quote you just played, where he said, "Well, Kyrie's going to decide what he wants to do, and then we'll meet," or something along those lines. It sounds to me like the Celtics haven't decided yet what they want to do, and they won't until. And Wick, and you're going to play this in a few seconds. You know, they're going to go through their evaluation process. I think the Celtics are going to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks going over everything and then figuring out, do we want this guy back or not?
That's exactly
the decision. The decision hasn't been made yet. That's what I took out of it. I mean, Wick just threw it in Kyrie's lap, saying, well, he's going to do what he's going to do, and then we'll meet with him, and on July 1st, we'll figure it out. I think both sides aren't sure yet.
Well, here's the you're right, because it sounds like they're going to have a little war room situation where they have to analyze what went wrong and who's on the roster.
But we're really going to just go through the roster, the 15 guys, and say, who's here? Who should we, should we move some of the guys? Should we re-sign these people? Or, you know, what are we going to do? And we start every kind of late May, we start with, or whenever it is, we start with sort of a clean slate and say, let's just put together a team for next year. It's really like a new movie with a new script and in some cases a new cast and hopefully a new ending. But I don't take it lightly. These are people's careers and their lives and their personal lives and their families. We don't just move around people for no reason, but we're trying to figure out who's here next year and who's not.
You know,
I like how he laughed at something that wasn't
and
funny.
To me, by the way, that's a major change. I mean, this entire season, for the last year, ever since Danny Ainge came on the air with us and said, this is an engagement, I assume we're still going to get married next summer, the fact that they're thinking about not doing this is a major change.
Yeah.
That's what we can take out of this. Kyrie, I think we all understand that Kyrie has 1 foot out the door and 1 foot in the door right now. But the fact that the Celtics are even considering letting him go and not offering him that contract, I mean, we're just trying to read between the lines here, to me is a huge policy change. The fact that they're even considering just letting him walk is amazing to me.
But I think the one thing that Wick said yesterday that makes me believe that the main faces of this team are going to change. And I believe that this right here says to me that Kyrie Irving's not going to be a part of this team, is this quote.
Was this, of the 6 years he's had in Boston, was this the hardest team to coach for him?
That's probably a good question for him. It was one of the hardest teams to love from my standpoint. I'd just rather answer for myself. I wasn't coaching him, but I was watching him, and it was frustrating. It was a tough year for everybody concerned. I think the fans all feel that, and we're going to just try to make it better. But we all feel that, and we the highs and lows, and it just has been, it's been frustrating.
I just don't think you say this is the hardest team to love from my standpoint to a team that you're considering keeping all the major pieces around.
Yeah, if you're the owner, that's not a good look.
No.
I agree.
Well, no, I mean, you're basically saying we got to make some major wholesale changes here, and that what's the one piece that right now can be moved around? It's not Al Horford they're talking about. It's not Gordon Hayward they're talking about. They're talking about Kyrie Irving.
I don't know. I think if you can... I think everything is open at this point. I'm not saying blowing it up and rebuilding, but what I'm saying is that the roster you saw the Celtics finish the season with could be significantly altered by the time we all get back together in October and November.
Or you could say that it's, kind of pandering in a way that you say, I know this is a tough team to love. You know, we're going to change that kind of atmosphere. Doesn't necessarily mean that Kyrie Irving's gone.
But it
could mean that they move Tatum and get their Anthony Davis on.
I don't think Tatum was the problem, though. You know what I mean? I don't think he was one of the guys who gave people a reason to hate the Celtics.
No, but it's a blanket statement. I mean, he's telling the fans, I understand this wasn't the greatest team. This is a team that disappointed. This was a team that made some, unfortunate remarks. So, that's a good thing to tell fans. Right. I don't take anything that he said to be gospel.
Oh, you see, I not gospel, but I think that he's not. Whereas before the postseason, I believed that they were going to do everything they could to keep Kyrie Irving. I mean, they were nervous all year that he was going to leave. And then I think after the playoffs, it's like, well, if he goes, he goes. And we're going to have to figure out, plan B and see how it works. I think that maybe there's as you said, John, the door is still open for there being some sort of Kyrie Irving and them talking, and Kyrie saying, like, Kyrie could say to them, listen, this season ended awful, and I think that, I want to do everything I can to make sure this doesn't happen again. Let's do it all. Let's do it over. Get Anthony Davis in here, and let's conquer the world.
But
I don't see Kyrie doing that.
I know.
But I think the door is open for that, and that's the only thing I believe that would change their mind.
Yeah. Well, it's money. Yeah. And then if they do get Kyrie, they can trade Tatum in the picks, they're saying now, to get Anthony Davis.
Now you're going to have to put in another player. You got to put in Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart
too. Just to match it. Just to make sure the salaries line up.
Yeah. So
Davis makes a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, so you're giving up a ton to get him.
Well, that's, I think, the goal. I would believe that's the goal for this team.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's reverse to what you want. What you would want is to have Kyrie Irving make his decision before the draft, and that's not possible. So you either roll the dice and trade those picks, you know, and Jason Tatum and get Davis here, and then you have a week to make sure that Kyrie joins him.
But I would imagine Davis and Kyrie talk before that and all those things.
That's certainly possible.
All right, we'll have the headlines. Rich, what else is going on?
Oh, the biggest F-up for the NHL just happened in front of everyone. And you know what? It was predicted by a Boston Bruin that this would happen.
Oh, okay. We'll find out all about that. Here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Home for sports. Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the sports hub.
Nanny at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going down in the streets?
Well,
Sportsville, USA.
In Sports Town?
Sportsville, USA, baby.
Well, the Bruins, as they get ready for tonight's potential elimination game against the Hicks, we take a look at what made Kevin Paul DuPont so angry last night, a game that he really wanted to watch, but they changed it to basketball. Too bad he might have missed what is one of the more controversial endings to a playoff game in a while. Over in the Western Conference, what a debacle for the NHL. So the Blues and Sharks go to overtime, an unbelievable game. I only got to watch the end of the third period where they tied it up. What are they, like about like a minute left, I think the game got tied up. So they go to overtime, and this happens.
Comes Meyer down the right side. Kilo Meyer with a shot. That did not make it through. Now Nyquist drops it up. Score! Erik Karlsson wins it for the Sharks. In overtime, they lead the series 2-1.
I think the Blues are arguing that this was a hand pass. They're going to talk it over. That's what Binnington was, and I thought it was initially when I saw it. They're taking a look. Let's see with Nyquist, and there's Meyer with his right hand. Puts it across. Should have been a whistle as soon as Nyquist touched it. There's the hand pass. Doesn't touch anybody else. Whistle should have blown.
Now the Sharks have left the ice. They have headed down the tunnel to their locker room. Officials heading to their locker room. Sharks win it 5-4 in overtime.
Okay, I saw it. It's atrocious. I mean, it's in front of the effing goal, and he's got the puck in his hand, and he throws it to Karlsson. I mean, it's obvious. Here's the thing.
It's in the air, and Timo Meyer swats it. So how these four refs couldn't see him put his hand in the air and swat, there's no way it can go from air to the ice.
I even think that it was more than swatting it. I think that he had the puck in his hand.
Very close to a closed glove.
Right.
Very close.
It's not just like a momentary slap. I mean, he threw it.
But it's considered a hand pass either way.
I understand that, but I'm just trying to talk about how obvious it was.
How gratuitous.
Right. So he does that, and no one sees it, and I don't know what they're looking at. I have no idea what they're looking at. In overtime, that close to the net, when a puck... He wasn't behind the puck. He wasn't behind the play. Now, they can review. What the NHL can review is fascinating to me.
Offsides, a minute after it happens.
Don't review anything. Just don't review anything. I mean, you can't review if the puck hits the netting. You can't review if a hand pass. Then don't review anything.
So what happened in that, if you didn't see it afterwards, I mean, the scene was pretty ridiculous. The refs review it on the ice because immediately The Blues players are like, dude, he just laughed out of the air. How did you not see that?
Throwing sticks.
So the refs review it on the ice, and the Sharks start heading down the tunnel. But then, after about 2 minutes, you saw the refs just start skating off the ice as if to say game over. Braden Schenn just, as you said, slams his stick up against the glass. And as you said, Fred, the reason that obviously legal goal was allowed is because you can't review a hand pass.
It's unbelievable.
So
you can review an offside and take 5 minutes to see if a inch of blade possibly crossed the blue line before the puck. I'm telling you, I'd rather have them review nothing. What the hell? Why offsides? Especially when it has almost zero. If I'm offsides, and then we control, and then if I'm on a team and I'm offsides, and then we control the puck for 20 seconds and score, that didn't have anything to do with the play.
Do you know who called this? Tuukka Rask. Several games ago. Do you remember when the puck hit the netting, came down, and a goal was scored? Here's Tuukka Rask after that game.
This day and age, I think it's crazy that, you know, I mean, if the refs don't see it, I think why the league can call, you know, and they're watching the game, right? So, I mean, what if that's an overtime goal? You know, it didn't cost us, but I think it's just funny that, you know, they can look at a lot of other goals and call them back from the offices, so why not that? But, I mean, whatever.
Does it bother you in the moment? Are you able to let go of it right away?
I didn't know what happened. I didn't see it hit the net. So
you weren't, like, outraged or anything because you didn't really
If I
know.
Saw it, then I would have probably slammed the sticks and chasing the refs, but I didn't.
Yeah, so why not an overtime? What would happen if overtime if that happens? And he's exactly right. Something happened where you had something that couldn't be reviewed. How about in the playoffs, every goal is reviewed?
Well, I don't want that either.
Because if there's any kind of controversy, don't you think that every goal should be able to be reviewed? Because there's going to be goals that nobody's going to have a problem with. But if there's a protest or even a challenge, don't you think that something, it doesn't matter, there shouldn't be a criteria of what can be reviewed and what can't? Don't you take away in the playoffs? Coach challenge. I mean, you know, if you had to do that, then fine.
What I would do now is just take away replay because it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It doesn't solve anything. I mean, if you wanted to, I mean, they have 85 cameras in the net. So if you wanted to, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you see,
that doesn't matter because Rask had a puck under his pad and you couldn't, it was called not a goal on the ice and you couldn't unequivocally say that it went in. There was an angle where it looked like it went in. So that doesn't work either. So if you can't review all these things that are factors in games, don't review anything.
You know how bad it was? I believe Kay Whitmore is the director of officiating for this series anyway. And, of course, they had to send a pool reporter to him. And he basically apologized. He's like, the play's not reviewable.
Yeah, how can you say anything but that?
But, I mean,
they're apologizing.
No, there are ways to, like, dance around it. He was basically apologetic for what had happened. The director of officiating is apologizing 10 minutes after the game's over. Fans are throwing bottles of beer at the officials as they walk off the ice. I mean, this is the NHL's prime time, man. There was no other hockey game. This was prime time.
This is the hockey equivalent of the Saints game from the playoffs last year.
It's very close to it.
I mean, there's no way. There's no way they should have missed that. Now,
four guys sitting there staring at it, and it's right in front of the net. I don't know what you're looking. What are you looking at? What? If there's a guy focused on the goal, then what is everyone else looking at?
It's remarkable.
It wasn't behind the play. It was right there.
No one was blocking him, really, so the line of sight was fairly... I mean, a puck somehow got from midair to the ice, like in strong, in fast fashion. Like it was like, and you saw the guy's arm go up.
I wasn't watching it live, I mean, it was egregious in slow motion.
The guys did the play-by-play immediately saw it. Well, afterwards, Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo, he was pretty BS about the whole thing.
I didn't really get an explanation other than, I guess there's a different set of rules for two different teams, so I'm sure they'll lose some sleep tonight after looking at it, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
Did you see a hand pass?
That's all I'm going to say about it.
And with that, we were all robbed Laura Branigan's Gloria blasting over the speakers in St. Louis, which I think might be the biggest crime of them all.
No Bear Force One either.
No Bear Force One. No, you only get that here. So now the Sharks are up 2-1. it was weird because, you know, watching, I watched a little bit of the game on Saturday and I watched a little bit of it last night. And the one thing you can say that if the Bruins do indeed move on to take on either one of those teams, Rask is way better than both those goalies. I mean, like, it's a massive advantage in net. And I looked it up. So right now, Tuukka Rask has almost a .940 save percentage in the playoffs. I mean, he's been great. And you compare it to what Tim Thomas did in 2011, I think they're just a hair off of each other. Like, Tim Thomas might have him, like, honestly, by like a tenth of a point.
Yeah, we talked to someone about that yesterday.
But if you look at Martin Jones, he entered Wednesday night with the worst save percentage of any starter still going. He has a .905. And St. Louis's Jordan Binnington, he's got a .909.
But he's a rookie, so he could get hot. So
he's been hot for most of the season.
Yeah.
And you, getting back to San Jose getting the benefit of the doubt on a call, you remember Game 7 against Las Vegas? They got a five-minute major. They were down 3-0 in Game 7 in Las Vegas.
Forgot
and you remember, it was an accidental push, and I forget which player for Las Vegas fell, hit his head, and he was bleeding. The officials missed it. Looked at it, saw him bleeding, called a five-minute major. San Jose scored four power play goals in the 5 minutes to take the lead. Vegas came back to tie it, and ultimately San Jose got the goal in overtime to win Game 7 of the first round, but they never should have gotten that opportunity because of a missed call by the refs.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, well, let's get to your Red Sox. They're doing pretty damn well, except for what happened with... you know what's weird is that if you take a look at Dan Roach, even he's like kind of ignoring the Red Sox during this Bruins run, which is kind of strange. Oh, by the way, we had a hookup between Mr. Billy Jaffe and Dan Roach last night.
Oh, hey!
I've got a little bit of news on that.
They finally had sex with each other. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you all loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that the Patriots have agreed to terms with Jamie Collins, the freelancer who is now a free agent. He's going to be returning to Foxborough. As you remember, New England bounced Collins back in 2016 midseason after reports of him being frustrated he wasn't getting paid, and amongst rumors at the time that he was freelancing on plays, and that was pissing off the team. You remember that was the whole deal?
Mm-hmm.
And before that happened, everyone was saying that he was this, you know, freak of nature, and he was the most talented guy in the team. And then all of a sudden, midseason, you hear, all right, dude, you're going to Football Siberia. And at the time, that was Cleveland. However, when he got there, Collins got paid. He got a buttload of money. They signed him to a four-year, $50 million contract in 2017. Although it looks like he just lasted two seasons before he was cut. Very uninspiring. I remember there were a couple games that we watched, whether it was Monday Night Football or with the Patriots, but where you just didn't hear Collins' name ever.
Well,
like, he was just like missing.
It's weird because Collins led Cleveland in tackles last year. He led Cleveland in tackles for loss. I mean, he had four sacks. I mean, it wasn't like...
He had a decent season.
He had a solid season, and mysteriously, Cleveland decided not to cut him. It's probably amazing.
They didn't want to pay someone based on their quarterback. They probably figured they got no shot.
With Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, time to start dumping.
Give up. You're just jealous. He's
part of the three games anyway.
He's part of the Tom Brady posse now, though. He was at the Kentucky Derby rubbing elbows with them, Fred. Come on, man. I know you want in on some of that. Yeah, of course he had a sweet hat on.
Yeah,
oh, did you watch the Kentucky Derby live as it was happening?
Yes.
No. Okay, so like 10 minutes before it starts, they do not the call to post. What's the one where they introduce the horses when they walk out to the track?
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield did that, and boy, is he Captain Excitement. Ladies and gentlemen, the
the horses. Like he like completely mumbled his way through it.
And, that's because Baker couldn't be bothered. He was just like, yeah.
Super cool, you know.
Well, sweet.
As you mentioned, John, Jamie Collins coming off a 104 tackle, 4 sack season. He turns 30 in October, but maybe he comes back humbled and hungry and can be like Patrick Chung and find a whole new second life as an effective Patriot. I don't see that being an impossibility.
He's not going to start, so it doesn't matter. Barring injury, he's not going to start.
It doesn't seem like it. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them to start him.
They had
is Van Noy a free agent?
No, he's back. He's back.
Well, yeah, but after I mean next year, like after next year,
that could be.
I think he's a free agent after next year. So maybe they're making plans. And at 30 years old, you know, I don't even know what the deal is going to be for them getting him because you know they cut him. I don't think it's been released yet, but. You know what? Why not? Why not? He seems to already know the system, and maybe he'll have a positive attitude this time, unlike the last time. And how about a little walk-off for you, John?
And a ground ball up the middle, base hit. Here comes Xander Bogaerts. He is in to score, and the Red Sox win it. Chavis with the walk-off single. The Red Sox win it in extra innings, 6-5.
I imagine Wallach sooner or later changing his Twitter handle to Michael Chavis rules.
Two things. First of all, did you hear that highlight? There was a guy applauding in back. When play it again. You'll hear him.
Oh, yeah. In the
David
booth?
Bryan. Yeah, in the booth.
Is that Eck, maybe?
So unprofessional.
It could be Eck.
Let's see.
And a ground ball up the middle. Base hit. Here comes Xander Bogaerts. He is in to score.
Somebody in the Nesson booth very happy. It could have been Eck, I suppose.
Eck Chavis with the walk-off single.
Eck had two broads in the back of this.
In extra inning, 6-5.
He's like, ah, finally I can get to the McGillicuddy twins.
That's the sound of him popping the Loverboy cassette into the Blaupunk.
Oh, okay.
The Blaupunk. Clock.
By the way, Michael Chavis does roll. I mean, who knows? He may go into an 0-for-27 tailspin, but the guy's hitting 450-foot bombs. He's getting game-winning hits off breaking balls. He's great to watch. And Pedroia's like struggling to get back. I mean, this kid plays second and first. Steve Pierce is hitting 105.
I got twins.
And a ground ball up the middle. Base hit. Here
I come, ladies. The McGillicuddy twins.
They've been waiting for the game to be over.
Yeah.
Oh, Eck, when will you finally play with us? Right now, baby. Game's over.
He goes, 2 + 2 = heaven. Yeah, I'm talking about boobies.
Okay, so the standings. It's been weird because, as you know, the team's been killing it. And, I mean, I know they didn't win the other night, but Chris Sale, at least, looks like he's back to being an effective, very good pitcher.
He's not throwing 99, but he's throwing 95, 96.
And that's more than fine. That's what you need.
He's getting swings and misses on his fastballs. I mean, it looks good.
Yep.
They look good. They're back to winning. Yeah, they're back to winning 2 out of every 3 like they did last year.
I'll talk to you in June about Chris Sale. He can't sustain this. At his age and his mechanics, he's not going to be able to sustain it.
You may be right.
Well, I'm right. I mean, there's no evidence that would happen. I mean, it's his history. But I mean, they very well could win the division. They very well could win the World Series. But it's not going to be Sale that carries them.
Yeah, the Yankees are still. I mean, they're still missing Judge and Stanton, I think. And Andujar is now officially out for the year.
He's a hothead.
The pitching is in shambles. The starting rotation's in shambles. They're still ahead of the Red Sox. I don't believe in Tampa Bay, so you're right. I think the Red Sox still can win the division. They're only 4 games out after that disastrous start, and they're playing good baseball.
Nope.
Houston's in for the weekend, though, so we'll see how it goes.
Houston, they're saying, might have the best offense of all time. That is an article I read yesterday.
And right now, Altuve's out, so they're still playing well.
With Altuve healthy, they might have the best offense of all time, and that's debatable. I mean, there was the 1985... Pirates that are have often been considered the best offense of all time. No, but I did read that. I did read that yesterday. All right, the Bankroll Boys. There's so much to talk about. Dan Lifschitz has been trying to nap. He's turned off all the lights inside. Bird did it for him. Bird knows how to.
Good Bird. Good for Bird.
Yeah, Bird knows how to half-ass everything around here. So we will have that for you in just. After the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.